the word, but also let us pour our hands to her, stretch our hands to her, and say, Father God, you, Sister Delisa, to release the word to us on this day. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Give the Lord another hand, please. I lost a lot of virtue earlier, praise God. So we're going to go in for the second win of God. Amen. Hallelujah. We just honor the Lord for all things. Amen. For he does all things well. And he is just a mighty God. He's an awesome God. And we dare not try to figure out his movements. That's one thing that we must not do as saints, try to figure him out. Abraham couldn't understand, why would you wait until I get old to tell me that I'm going to have a child? Why not wait till I was 30 or 20 when I can chase a little boy around the house, praise God? But the Lord knows. He knows that it takes certain places in the spirit for us to give birth, praise God. And he couldn't give birth around his kinfolk.
All right.
He had to be in a strange place.
Jesus.
I done already preached. Amen. Open up with me. I won't lie to you. I don't know how long the Lord's going to have me minister to you. We're just going to let him have his way. Amen.
Amen.
My opening scripture is found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. As you turn to the scriptures, let us just acknowledge the Lord in prayer. Oh God, precious Father and God, we honor you and we bless you. Father, we exalt you. Lord God, we lift you up high above princes, powers, principalities, Lord God. Father, you are awesome and you are sovereign in all of your ways. Lord God, we reverence you. God, we exalt you. We amplify everything that is good about you, Lord God. And Father, we just push your name out to be bigger, God. We magnify your name, God. We make your name great. We applaud you. We laud you, God. We just lavish you with our praise because you're worthy. Father, without you, we are nothing. Even the very breath that we breathe is borrowed from you. So, Father, teach us to consider the numbers of our days, God, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom, that we may use every day that you've given us as an opportunity to advance your kingdom. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that this word is coming fresh from on high. Lord God, beyond what I've studied, even beyond what Holy Spirit told me yesterday, today is a new day. So, Father, I just present myself to you, God, as your Lord, and I ask you to speak. Have your way, God. Minister to your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I feel like we already had service. So I'm going to have to see how the Holy Spirit is going to reroute me, praise God, because I'm still up here. And I got to come down here. But at any rate, I honor the Lord today for all things. He's worthy to be praised. He is my all in all. The lover of my soul, can no one take his place. Amen. I give honor to my husband who had to leave for work today, the love of my physical life, praise God. I honor the pastors of this great church, Pastor Donald Lee, Pastor Yvonne. Amen. I honor all the ministers, elders, deacons, everyone in their respective place. We thank God for you. If you have Genesis chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading at the 28th verse. And the Bible says, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And if I would have to minister to you today from a topic, that topic would be, I'm battling, but I'm still birthing. I'm battling, but I'm still birthing. And I just think that that should be a declaration that we as all believers should make, that no matter what I go through, no matter what the enemy may throw my way, no matter what I may have put on my own self, I will still give birth in the name of the Lord.
All right.
For the Bible tells us, even in the very beginning of recorded scripture, that we have been commanded to multiply. Now, if you would look at that scripture, the Bible doesn't tell us that we should only multiply when it feels good, or we should multiply when we have money, or we should multiply when we have friends. But we are commanded, despite whatever season season of life we may be going through, we are commanded to be fruitful and multiply. And I maintain to tell you that we as a people are to be a blossoming and a budding people. I maintain to tell you that no matter what season of my life you should find me in, I should always be bringing something new to the glory of God. I should always come before the Lord with gifts. I should always come before the Lord with a new song. I should always come before the Lord with a new prayer, not something reformatted and rehearsed and re-microwaved, praise God. But there should always be something new coming from the life of a believer.
Yes.
The Bible says that we are the trees of the Lord, the planting of the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I've never seen a tree bring the same apple from season after season after season. That apple blossoms. First, there's a little blossom there. Then the fruit comes. You eat the fruit. The tree goes through a certain season where the tree is resting and preparing for conception again. And then it brings birth in another season. So I maintain to tell you that your birthing should be a cyclical thing. You shouldn't just give birth when you're feeling good. Are not serious enough that it should be able to block the ability of God to use you to bless the nations. What Goliath can stand in your way that the five smooth stones have not already been placed in your pocket by Holy Spirit to take his head off? With every test, with every trial, you have already been equipped to take the enemy out. Oh, that's why I love the Sunday school from this morning. I had to try to duck and dodge. And Joe, don't come turn me down. I'm just a little too high. I don't want to drown y'all out, praise God. But I love the Sunday school this morning because it talked about warfare. And if anybody knows anything about me, I love warfare, praise God. I mean, I feel like I was born with a sword in my hand, praise God. I feel like I go to sleep with a sword. I feel like I eat with a sword. I feel like I wash clothes with a sword, praise God. But despite whatever season you're going through, you are still commanded by God.
That's right.
You are still required to be faithful. The Bible says it is required of a steward to be found faithful. Now, yes, God is concerned about your circumstances. Yes, he's concerned about your situations. But beyond that, there's a greater call that goes beyond your feelings today. It goes beyond who talked about you. It goes beyond who fired you. It goes beyond who would let you preach. But there's a mighty and magnificent sovereign will of God before you were ever formed and put on this earth that God desired for you to give birth.
Yes.
So there should always be a blossoming. Something new ought to be coming from you.
Yes.
Something new. You ought to have a new song, a new word, a new prayer, a new dance, a new... We praise God. We got new clothes, but do we have new mantles? Do we have new assignments? Can we pass on, praise God, from the first grade? Can anybody get to middle school in the spirit, praise God? So we are a blossoming, we are a birthing, we are a fruit-bearing tree unto the Lord. Remember what the scripture said when Jesus went through, and the Bible said he was hungry, and he went to the fig tree, and here was the fig tree all full and fat and in blossom, but there was no fruit. And that's the problem we found with some of the believers. We are blossoming, but we're big, we're swollen, but there's nothing that nobody can eat, praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus went to it and he cursed it because it was good for nothing. What are you as a believer if God can't send somebody to you for prayer? If God can't send somebody to you for a word? If God can't send somebody to shake their hand? What good are you in the kingdom of God if you can't give birth? So we battle. But we still give birth. So there should always be a process of fruitfulness, multiplying, and blossoming, and budding, and bearing forth. There should always be these seasons, and they should be cyclical, praise God. They should be cyclical. And there are some trees, praise God, that just keeps on bearing fruit. I believe it's in Revelation, where every month there was a tree that bore fruit for the healing of the nations. And I just want to know, is there anybody in here that can be a tree of healing, praise God? Not a tree of poison. I'm not talking about that. You know, there's some tree. God's got all sorts of varieties of trees because he's a God of variety, praise God. And there's some trees that you eat from, it can literally kill you. But then there's some fruit trees that you can eat from, like the apple tree. You eat an apple and keep the doctor away. So there's some types of people that you can eat from, praise God, that will keep you whole, that will keep you healthy, will keep your mind straight. And then there's some trees, praise the Lord, that the arborist had to go and put a patch over and said, this one has been consumed by worms.
Jesus.
It's good to be cut down. Good for nothing. So even as we partner with the Lord to give birth, and you know, we've got to understand that too, that no matter what God plans and no matter what God destines for our life, that there is an adversary, praise God. That's what Satan's name literally means, adversary. The Jews call him Hasatan. That means the adversary, praise God. So no matter what good you do, the Bible says when I do good, evil is present. And so if you're going to be cumbered about with troubles, you're going to be cumbered about with issues of life, but you've got to stay focused. You've got to have that renewed mind that says no matter what, come hell or high water, I'm going to do what thus says the Lord. You can't be so caught up in friendship and familiarity and popularity and all those other arities, praise God. You can't get so caught up in what folks want you to do that you miss the call of God on your life. So it's the enemy's job. It's the enemy's job to destroy us as trees. When I talk about us as trees for a minute, it's the enemy's job to cause us to be corrupt trees. And how does the enemy corrupt a tree except he gets to the root? Now, when we talk about the root, somebody said the root. When we talk about the root, we're talking about the very seat of our emotions. We're talking about the very core of our personality. That thing about us that God is trying to cut, that we keep running back in the trash and putting it back on us. There are some things that God has to prune in our lives, praise God, so that we can bear forth much fruit. And guess what? Even if you are fruitful, God, if you may not do anything wrong, God will still cut you.
That's right.
Yeah, well.
So you can be more fruitful.
Yes, right.
And I said, God, don't love me like you do. But the Lord, when you look in the New Testament, the Lord is always referred to as the husbandman. That means he's a farmer. And so the farmer goes out to inspect. The farmer is all about sowing seed. The farmer is all about tending to the seed. The farmer is all about cultivating the fruit. And he'll take that big pruning shears, the scissors, and he'll begin to cut, praise God. But even in the midst of the cutting, God still requires you to stand.
All right.
Now that's where we mess up, right there.
Come on.
That's where we mess up, because the minute God starts cutting, Lord have mercy. You seen so-and-so? No. I have never seen a rose bush just plop itself up and uproot itself down the street and still expect to grow. Jesus said, except you abide in me, there must be an abiding. There must be an abiding in the Lord, that no matter what he allows to come your way. Come on, Brother Joe, testify. No matter what God allows to come your way, only because he wants you to be more fruitful, God will allow the cutting. He will allow the piercing. He will allow the pruning, not to kill you, but to multiply you. Can I get some witnesses in here that may be going through a pruning season? Can I just prophesy and tell you that the reason God is pruning you is because he expects double more of what you've already been given?
Yeah.
If you are going through a pruning season in your life, it's because God said you've done real good last season. You can do more. Ouch, Jesus. But whatever, see, one thing about the Lord as an arborist, as a husband, he knows what plant can withstand the pruning. There's some plants, there's some bushes that just can't take it, praise God. They only have a few little stems there, they get another cut and that's it. But there are some that the Lord say, this one can take a cutting. This one can take a bruising and not lose it. So it's the enemy's job to cause our roots to be poisoned to the point that even if we are bearing fruit, it's no good. What is the use of having a ministry gift? And God don't want you to use it. What is the use of having a ministry gift and it's not good for nothing? And I know that's grammatically incorrect, but y'all get the point.
Amen.
What's the use of having a gift to sing and it can't glorify heaven? Because he's not going to take the gift back. He'll just take the opportunity back.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that again.
Come on.
God told Saul, he removed the anointing. He told Sam, you're done, pack it up, you out of here, boy. He was still king. But God removed the kingdom from him spiritually.
My Lord.
Samson was still anointed, but the opportunity to display the anointing was taken away from him. So you can still have the gift. You can still have the prophetic. You can have the apostolic, whatever you got, praise God. But does anybody want to hear what's coming off that tree?
Come on now.
He'll take the opportunity. He will take it from you. So it's the enemy's job. Yes, he will. You find people sometimes preaching on the corner. Out of their minds, still preaching, still prophesying. Folk, minds are gone, but that gift is still going. Wow. Still going. Anybody ever witness that? That gift is, that gift ain't going nowhere. You find R. Kelly, let me tell you something about R. Kelly. R. Kelly's voice is still anointed, even when he's singing to a woman that he ain't even married to. The brother's voice is still anointed. Whitney Houston's voice was still anointed. Yeah. These people that sing R&B, their voices are still anointed. God didn't take the gift from them.
That's right.
But the opportunity to stand before God and render the song has been taken away.
All right, come on.
Jesus. I'm going to move past that one. That's just to help some of us anointed folk.
Yeah.
But God gave it to me. Yes, he did.
Yeah, come on now.
But the God wanted it in his house.
Yeah.
Wow.
Depart from me, I never knew you. But God, I prophesied in your name. I cast out devils. Yes, you did. Jesus' name will always work even when you won't. We'll move past that. So it's the enemy's job to make sure that whenever we give birth to that, whenever we bear fruit or whatever our multiplicationness is, praise God, it's his job to try to corrupt that.
Yeah.
He is the corrupted one. When he tried to corrupt heaven, God put him out of all the ones that was connected with him. Put him out of there. Why? Because you got to learn how when something is going wrong, you just don't let it keep going wrong. You get to the root, praise God. Don't just deal with what's happening. Deal with why. Why is this happening? Why, Lord, every time I get to this certain place in my life, this spirit in my life shows up. What's going on? I don't need to get mad at the manager at Duke Energy. No, because of where I was working at, by law, I had this problem. When I worked at Time Warner Cable, I had. What is it, God? You can't have the same problem everywhere you go. Now, come on.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with the roots.
Come on.
My Lord.
Yes. Amen.
Lord.
And we're having the same problem with every friend, at every church,
on
every job, at every school.
Come on.
I ain't the brightest crayon in the box.
Come on.
I'm not that smart.
You better stop.
But I don't think I would stop for a moment and say, now, wait a minute. Maybe it's me.
Yeah.
It ain't the enemy, it's the inner me.
Yeah.
So the Bible says we got to examine ourselves.
Yes.
Because we want God to give me, God give me. God said, okay, fine, I'm going to give it to you. But then I'm also requiring you to be faithful over that which I've given you. See, it's not so much that you, somebody lay your hands on you and it's like some oil on you, put a rag around you and you anoint and you're ready to go. No, that's just the beginning of sorrows.
Wow.
That's just the beginning of your death process.
That's right.
Now, you got to walk it out.
Yeah.
Somebody in the world made that song. That word, that song was for the believers. They done made a dance and everything too. That was our song. I believe somebody gave that song to a Holy Ghost filled somebody said no, and God said, I got somebody to sing it. That was for us. We want everything God got for us, but we don't want to go through nothing.
Right.
We don't want to go through nothing. The first time the weather changed, well, you know, I can't do that today. But you want to go to the nation. God can't even send you to the next door. Praise God. The God outside don't even know who you are.
Jesus.
Somebody said, but I'm birthing. Because I believe God is setting us up.
Yes.
Oh my God, he's going to show us some things that we need to deal with so we can walk up out of here, praise God, and we can conceive some stuff, praise God. Some of us are in a place where we're conceiving. Some of us in a place where we need to be birthing. Some of us, God knows, in heaven got triplets. You've been pregnant too long, praise God. We're sick and tired of seeing you in the spirit, and you ain't birthed nothing. Please let the baby go.
Jesus.
Well, hallelujah. How long are we going to be pregnant? How long? How long?
How long?
John 10:10, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, but I come life, I come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. It's the enemy's job. And guess what? Somebody said, it's his job.
It's his job.
That's his job. Say it again, it's his job.
It's his job.
Say it again, because I don't think we get it. It's his job.
It's
to steal from you, to kill stuff in your life, and to destroy.
Yeah.
That's his job.
Yeah.
So we really shouldn't be that surprised. Some things you just ought to expect.
Yes.
When God bless you, you okay now, all right, thank you, Jesus. You should be shouting one out, all right. Where he at? The Bible said, watch as well as pray. And sometimes we get so over spiritual.
Well, Jesus gonna fix it. Jesus, it's finished. It's your time. You go now. Yes. You cast the devil out. You heal the sick. You raise the dead. But wait on Jesus.
All right now.
Yes. He said, I give you power. I give you trampling power. I give you the authority in my name. I give you command. You go. Quit sitting home waiting for Jesus gonna fix it after. No, Jesus fixed it over 2,000 years ago, baby.
Yes.
It's done. We're too lazy.
Yeah.
And that's why some of us are still pregnant, because we're waiting for Jesus to come. Jesus gonna push the baby, undo the umbilical. Jesus gonna swaddle and just do everything. You just gonna have the title. No, you're gonna have to put in some work.
Yes.
You know what they call sweat equity?
Yes.
I think that's what the Habitat Homes.
Yes.
The bank put up so much money, and then you put up yourself.
Yeah.
Your sweat, you work.
Yeah.
We just want the Lord just to build the house and we move in. No, you got to put in some effort.
Yeah.
So there are going to be many things, people of God,
yeah,
that will come to upset you, to stop you from birthing, to stop you from conceiving. There's many things. Listen, the devil has been around a long time.
Yeah.
Now, he don't have new tricks, but he can reinvent the old ones.
Right.
Y'all ever had leftovers?
Right.
You know how you can warm it, throw a little bit of extra pepper and make it taste like it's, you know, it's the same old spaghetti, but you done put a little bit of sugar on it. And that's how the enemy do it. It's the same trick.
Yes.
But he twisted a little bit to throw you off. You're like, well, what kind of devil? It's the same devil.
Come on.
Reinvented.
Yeah.
Come on. That's good.
So it's his job. And this is why the Bible tells us to be sober, be vigilant. He said, be alert, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, for the same afflictions to be accomplished by your brothers that in the world. What you gonna do, your neighbor sit next to you, you going through the same thing.
Right.
Anybody got bills due? I know you do, because I got some due too. We going through the same thing. That's why you had no business being prideful and arrogant, because baby, you just as broke down and torpid as I am. So just get real with it in Jesus' name. Nobody else, praise the Lord. In the wilderness, all of us was going around in circles. Everybody ate manna and quail. Ain't nobody had steak or lobster chicken. We ate the same thing from the same God at the same time. So we can kill all of that. You ain't no better than me. And I'm no better than you. Praise the Lord. So it's the enemy's job. It is his. He don't have nothing else to do. Do you understand that when you wake up, he's been up, praise God. When you lay down, he's still up, wondering and plotting and using somebody, whoever will let him, to torment your life. By the time you done woke up and brushed your teeth, he done spoke to somebody and said, look here, when she get on the job, I want you to say this and I want you to say that. When she log on the Facebook, I want you to have this post, I want you to have that post. When you get home, I want you to tell this child, you he's already planned it before you can figure out the devil and beat you to the punch. That's why you got to be caught up in a place with God. So he can show you things ahead of time, praise God. I'm going to get to some biblical examples in a minute. I ain't just talking to you, praise God. Y'all know I've been studying the Bible for a long time. I got some Bible for you. Praise the Lord. So it's the enemy's job to stop you from multiplying. Do you understand that he can't multiply nothing? That's why he used the same people over and over, praise God. He used the same situations. It's the same thing. Just a different day. They got a different outfit, but it's the same devil. Ain't nothing changed.
So good.
But we get so carnal minded.
Jesus.
We take our eyes off what's happening in the spirit.
Yes.
And we're looking in the natural.
Yes.
We got to be more vigilant than that, saints of God. So we understand that even as trees, praise the Lord, even as the trees of the righteousness of the Lord, that there are things that will come to try to remove you, to try to make your roots brittle, that will try to dry up your roots, that will think the seasons will change on you. You'll be in the middle of dead of winter. There ain't nothing happening for you, praise God. No one, nobody give you no money. You can't get a raise from a job. You're just going through, and God still expects you to stand, praise God. You go through the spring, through allergy season, and you deal with people that you're allergic to in the spirit, praise God. Just get on your nerves, praise the Lord, and God still require you to stand. You get to the summer of your life, and you're going through the, praise God, the heat of the day. Amen. You're sweating. You're about to pass out, and God still require you to stand. Then you get to the fall season, so like everything fall apart. My God. And God still require you to stand. Because you can birth even when you're battling. That's how bad you are in the Holy Ghost. You can still birth in the middle of a storm, praise God. A hurricane can hit life, and you're still, hey, God told me to do so and so and so. You've been going through somebody walking on your life you thought would never leave you, and God will give you a new song to sing. You can still give birth. I don't care what season you're going through, because the Holy Ghost of God inside of you is not bound by your circumstances. So you can give birth.
Hallelujah.
You can sing. The Almighty God pour out of His Spirit inside of you. God don't expect you to stand. You can't stand without His Spirit anyway. That's why you got to continue to fill yourself up on the Word. Continue to fill yourself the Bible and pray in tongues. Build up your most holy faith. And this is one of the things the saints of God, we only speak in tongues when we're in church. Well, congratulations that you can speak in three tongues in church. Do you speak in tongues on your job? Do you speak in tongues in the bathroom? Do you wash your dishes and speak in tongues? Do you wash your clothes? Pop the floor, praise God. Speaking in tongues. We don't need you to be spiritual in here. We're all spiritual. Light on light ain't nothing. Can you speak in tongues at the red light? Praise God. Can you speak in tongues in Walmart? Can you pray in the Holy Ghost at the bank? Praise God. Too many of us run around on E.
Word. That's a good word.
Run out on E on the side of the road. Then ran out of gas. Praise God. Because the opportunity God gave you in the spirit to fill your tank up. Well, I'll do it next week. And God said, you don't have time next week. Next week, something going to hit your life so strong. You ain't going to have a mind to pray. Praise God. So you need to take advantage of the opportunity God give you now to build yourself up in the Lord.
You preach it.
Jesus. Thank you, God.
We run out on E.
Glory to God.
Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What does it take for us to get to the place of delivery? Naturally speaking, you got three trimesters for a woman. First trimester, she gets the good news. Honey, I'm pregnant. Oh boy. And that's when you buy your clothes and, you know, you do all this stuff. Tell everybody, plan your whatever. That's when you first get the assignment from God. The Lord is calling you to do this. Oh, girl, did you know the Lord spoke in a dream, so and so and so? It's the first trimester. You just as green as a green bay tree. You have no idea how many labor pains are going to hit your butt. You don't know when your labor going to hit. You don't know what the baby going to look like. You don't even know what to call them. You don't even know. Praise God. Hallelujah. You just happy. You done heard from God. The Lord said, God bless you. Keep on living. So you're in your first trimester. You tell your friends. You got your prayer partners. Y'all is rejoicing. You're going to do a conference. Y'all is so happy. Praise God. Planning everything. Then here comes the second trimester. Things are changing. Physiological changes take place in the natural woman. But then the spiritual changes take place in you. Now you got an attitude.
All right, now.
Because you're starting to see stuff that are I know that God. You know, when you get to that second trimester, you start picking up that smell. You know, certain scents, certain people's fragrances or foods. They start to mess with your stomach, praise God. And so now you have a more heightened sense of smell around that second trimester. And the same thing happens in the spirit realm. Now that you got a low tolerance for mess now, because you're like, look here now, I don't feel good today. I ain't got time for all none of that. I don't have time for it. And so this is kind of where the friendships, you know, they kind of drop off a little bit. Because they're like, well, what's wrong with her?
All right, now.
She wasn't acting like that before she got that title. But your body's going through some changes. Spiritually, you're going through some changes. You're trying to figure out, God, do I really want this? Now, you're about halfway through. You ain't no need telling God what you think. You can kill that noise quick. That ain't even up for discussion. It's God, what we going to do? So you at this halfway point. You're too far to go back.
Right.
You know what I mean? You came too far now.
Yeah.
Okay? You done told too many people.
Yeah.
What you mean you ain't going to do the church thing no more? What you mean now? We done got this building. What you mean now? I thought you said God told you. You know, pull us out and embarrass us like that. Now you wondering. Before the thing even manifests, you're like, okay, I got second thoughts about it. I don't know. But then somehow you just keep going. It's like the Spirit of God keep pushing. Like, come on, give me a little bit further, a little bit further. Then you hit the third trimester. And it seemed like everything, even the kitchen sink, is thrown at you. Your face is swollen. Your legs are swollen. It hurts to do everything, praise God. You don't want to praise God. You don't even want to read your word. You don't want to have to praise God. You just mind. You don't feel like it. I'm tired and worn out. That's when the enemy has thrown so many fires at your spirit that you've been fighting and fighting. This moment, I don't have no more fight. I'm ready to just give it up. But you can't give up because now you got something kicking inside of you. You can't fight for yourself. You got to fight for what God gave you. Now you got people looking at up to you. You got now, baby, not today. You don't even talk to your hand, but talk to the hand. Woo. You don't want to hear it because you balance so much. Like, God, I thought you loved me. Now you're looking at your spouse like, what in the world? You done, praise God. I can't hardly move. You done gave me this child and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at me. I don't even look the same.
Jesus.
Your whole spiritual appearance have changed. You actually look like you're going through. People see you coming, they just get out the way. You stand a prayer line, they just everybody move over and say, no, let her go. She be praying today. You just stand behind her. Come on, anybody know about the third trimester? Woo! Oh, that's a dog. Now, in the first trimester, you were happy. You done put out your invitations. You done did the nursery. You done got all this stuff you done put on Facebook. So-and-so ministries, prophet to the nation. I'm coming to your town. I'm coming. My 1-800 number. Call me anytime. It sounds good. It feels good.
You have been here, my God.
I know I'm telling the truth, and I done walk it all the way out, praise God.
God, you went.
It feels good. God gave you a word. You're like, girl, you're a faithful. The Lord told me today, so-and-so, so I'm going to the man. I'm going. I got a passport. I'm ready. It feels good. Everybody know about it. Second trimester, you're like, I don't know, God. Did I hear you? Did she prophesy that thing to me right? Cause
right.
It seemed like the minute I got the word, everything went crazy.
Come on.
It seemed like you go, everything is fine till you get the word from God. The Bible says how God took Ezekiel to the Valley of Rabbah, and I always teach this in my prophetic class. I teach about that prophetic process, fulfillment.
Yes.
That when you get the word, can these bones live? Yes. But the bones didn't just stand up and start marching. There was a process.
Yeah.
First it was a wind.
Yeah.
Then it was a shaking.
Yeah.
That means that there was a noise.
Yeah.
And couldn't nobody understand what was going on, praise God. Then the bones started to take up and become a mighty army, but not before the noise.
Jesus.
The shaking.
Jesus.
Listen, let me help some of y'all. Because some of you in that season are shaking right now.
Help.
Let me help you.
All right.
Let me help you. That season of shaking is a part of your prophetic fulfillment.
Oh, wow.
It's a part of the promise.
Jesus.
It comes with the territory. Just like those labor pains come along with pregnancy.
Yeah.
That shaking.
Yeah.
God's got to shake some stuff because, number one, he needs to let you know what's around you.
Yeah.
He needs to cause you to be vigilant, be sober. The Lord said, look, you're not just an ordinary person now. You are one of my visionaries. You are one of those forerunners. You're one of those leaders. So you cannot just think the same way you used to. You can't act the same way you used to. You're different now.
Yeah.
You're different.
Thank you.
Different.
It's a difference. If you're running with the same crowd
come on.
In your third trimester that you was before you got pregnant, something is wrong. Something is wrong. Unless those are the ones God assigned to you to stay with you through the course. Let me tell you, those are some mighty special people that can hang with you all the way through. Those that they can see you through, honey, that's your you right there. That's your game. That's it. Because you're going to find out who can handle it. A lot of folks will start out with you and jump on. Oh, I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy. Praise God. We're going to do it.
That's right.
Then you get down to doing it. This is so-and-so. I'm trying to reach Sister so-and-so. If you see her, tell her to call me. I've been trying to find her for 3 years. You all on Facebook, whitepages.com, trying to find your friend. That ain't no friend, honey.
Right.
Got to endure hardness. The Bible says as a good soldier. When God comes to you and he tells you that I'm ready for you to conceive this thing, the Lord has already counted up the cost. He didn't just have a bright idea and just came down from heaven one day.
Before the angel Gabriel came down to Mary, heaven counted the cost. Before Mary was born, before the earth was created, God already knew at this certain time, on this day, in this town, in this village, and with this family, I'm going to send Gabriel down. Yes. If God has given you an assignment, he has already factored in everything you're going to go through, who's going to flip on you that crazy, the times you flip out and go crazy, he has already factored it on in, praise God. So if he gave it to you, congratulations, you can do it. Now you got to do it.
Jesus.
So you got to endure hardness as a good soldier. That means you're going to have to toughen up your skin. You can't be just, you know, well, you know, Jesus loves everybody, and you know, I just come on, everybody, come on. The devil, where your life at? You got to be discerning. You got to know, praise God, through the eyes of the Spirit. You got to know those that labor among you, because not everybody that's coming to attach themselves to you means your vision well. There will be some people called up on assignment, called sabotage, that will join themselves with you just to see where you go, how you do it, who you have to do it, and then try to turn yourself upside down. So you got to be careful, praise God, who you share your vision with. You have to be careful who you share your pregnancy with. You got to be careful who you have joining you at the hip, praise God, because not everything around you means you well.
Yes.
And can I go a little bit further?
Come on.
There is a Judas in every circle.
Yes.
If he can hang around Jesus, you know good and well you ain't as anointed as Jesus.
Come on.
If Judas can be assigned to Jesus, then you might as well just look right so that way in. Because you know he there.
Yes, my God.
Jesus.
Yes.
I'm going to leave that alone. You got to endure hardness as a good soldier. God is looking for some people who know how to strap up in the spirit. We ain't got no time for no little cotton candy, no.
That's so good.
I'm here to tell you. And I'm one of them Babylon, I'm one of them Deborah prophets. We fight all the time, praise the Lord. But let me see how I can put this, Jesus. There are some visions that you have to understand spiritual warfare if you expect to carry it all the way out to fruition. Now, there are many people that's conceiving, but not everybody's giving birth. Some people are miscarrying. Some people are just killed. That's it. I don't want to know more. God, they're aborted. But to the one that can endure to the end, to the ones who know how to put on that full armor of God, I'm talking about you got to strap yourself, am I right, brother prophet? You got to have on a helmet, you got to have on a shield of faith, you got to have a girdle around your waist, some boots, praise God. And God didn't give you nothing for your back because he don't expect you to turn and run. This is a battle of confrontation. This is a battle of contention. We contend with the enemy. We don't tuck tail and run, praise God. Nothing makes me more aggravated in the spirit when, praise God, you in the battle of your life, praise God, somebody, I'm with you, I'm with you, and you turn around and they're sitting somewhere, you're like, praise God, where were you in the day of battle?
Right.
The Bible talks about judges, there's a scripture, there's a thing, judges, where the Bible talks about the tribe of Benjamin who turned in the day of battle. There's nothing like thinking your brothers are with you. There's nothing like thinking that your people is with you and you go to war, praise God, when there's a very strong possibility that there can be casualties. You don't go to war and not lose something. When you go to war, it means loss. Something is going to get lost in the process. You don't know what it is, but it's your obligation to yet stand and endure the battle.
Yes.
But there's nothing worse than to go to battle and you think you can depend on somebody to have your back and you turn around and they're gone.
Jesus
said, you can't watch with me 1 hour.
Come on. Jesus.
My life is about to be offered up for you.
Jesus.
For your child, generations after you, and you mean to tell me you sleep?
Jesus.
If it happened to Jesus, you and I are no better. Folk will sleep on you in the day of battle.
Yes.
Honey, they'll go to the mall, they'll go on vacation, and here you are fighting for your life.
Jesus!
Thank you, Lord.
But you still got to give birth.
My God!
You got to put Jesus still. The Bible said he prayed and sweat dropped like great drops of blood.
Yes.
That means his body was under so much pressure.
Yeah.
But during that time, the sins of the world were being laid on him.
Yeah.
And he didn't ask somebody for a tithe. He didn't ask you to sing me a song. He said, all I need you to do is pray. I'm in the third trimester of my life.
Jesus.
I'm at the point where I got to give up everything that I've known. All I need you to do is can you just pray?
Yeah.
And
And he didn't even ask the 12, he only asked three.
Jesus.
How many know this thing is real?
Yes.
Oh, this is for grown up people.
Yes.
I'm talking about for the one out. You just want to love Jesus and go to heaven anyhow, God bless you. We're going to love you. You're going to walk around having bad foot and no men on your head, but that's all right. You made it. But I'm talking about the ones. Your name is ringing on the lips of heaven. There's an assignment that needs to be done here. Let's call so-and-so. There's a work that needs to be done here. Let's call so-and-so. I'm talking about those. Like Jesus, the Lord had Job on his mind. Hey, what about Job? And Job was like, it ain't bothering nobody. Why are you going to bring that trouble to my door? I don't want to birth nothing. I'm good. Pregnancy, praise God. This was unwanted. Hallelujah.
All right, that's good. That's good.
But when God gives you something, you got to count the cost. Don't say, God, I want that. We sing that song and it's a setup every time. Lord, if you can do anything, if you can use anything, use me. And we just sit before the Lord and sing it all. Don't have no kind of clue what we sing. We just sing it because that's what the choir decided to sing. You better watch what you say, praise God. You follow the choir. You can use anything, Lord. And then we go, oh, you can use me. And we get all into it. And then when God uses you, Lord, come. Have mercy, Jesus. Come on, everybody, sing it out. Why are you acting like that? You gotta be tough. You're gonna have to be tough. You're gonna have to learn how to roll up your sleeves. I'm telling you, this ain't for the little wimps and little. This ain't for that. This ain't cotton candy religion. You won't be in it to win it or just sit down somewhere. Don't nobody hear nothing from nobody that ain't been through nothing. And that's grammatically incorrect too. The anointing comes from experience in the presence of God. Yes. That means, and you know what that anointing means? That means that something's been broken in you.
Yes.
Not somebody broke something and you trying to latch and jump on the back. What was broken in you?
Uh-huh.
Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. That literally means the oil of crushing.
Yes.
That oil that you and I have is the oil that Jesus crushed and bruised his life for. That's what we carry. That ain't just for you to just be anointed and somebody can see you. Don't nobody care what you look like, praise God. Do you have resurrection power? Can you heal somebody? Can you heal yourself? Do you know how to pray? Do Jesus know you? It's more than just, you know, praise the Lord. I got a little bit of time left. Y'all all right?
Yeah.
I ain't even got down halfway through. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about some examples of people who birthed in the middle of battle. Anybody going through some battles right now? If you're not, we're going to give you an invitation to meet Jesus. And you know what? And let me retract, because some people just may be in a season of just quiet. Just get ready, because there's another season coming right on the heel of that one.
All right.
When God gives you time of rest, take advantage of it.
Right.
There'll be time for engagement. God said, this ain't time for engagement. This ain't time to run. Just stay to sit down, because you got something coming after a while. So just sit there. Obey your season. Praise God. Let me tell you about, I was talking about Mary earlier. This girl was just a virgin in love with this man named Joseph. All of a sudden, here come an angel. Have you ever been there? You just minding your own business, and here come the Lord. You in the grocery store, and somebody walking to the Lord say, "Some, I ain't coming for that. I just came to buy some ice cream. I'm not looking to do nothing but come to church. That's it. I don't want none of that other stuff." But heaven has you on his mind.
Right.
And so here's this girl just planning her life to live with a man she loves. Ain't thinking about nothing, praise God. Never been with a man. Ain't thinking about no baby. None of that stuff. All of a sudden, she turned around, there's this angel in her room.
All right,
what's up? Well, God has chosen you to bring forth the Redeemer of the world. Y'all know the story.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, fine. You know, according to the Lord's will, so let it be. But I guarantee you, she had no idea.
None.
And see, that's what the Lord does. He know the ending from the beginning, but he ain't going to tell you the end from the beginning. He going to call you, and then you're going to have to walk it out. And some of that stuff you find out by just the element of surprise.
Yeah. That's right.
Like, wow, God. He didn't tell her that once you say yes, he will have to move. Once you say yes, the man you love may not love you back.
Right.
Once you say yes, people are going to talk about you
right.
and accuse you. Once you say yes, You're not going to give birth in a hospital and around your little friends. You're going to give birth in a stable. And the only ones who's going to be there to witness that is going to be the holy angels, praise God. So, he didn't tell Mary all of that.
Yeah.
Now, what about you?
Come on.
When the Lord called you,
come on,
did he tell you?
That'll preach right there.
Did he tell you that you might lose your job? Did he tell you that your spouse may go crazy? Did he tell you that your family will turn on you? Did he tell you that you may not have a whole crowd of cheerleaders and supporters, that you may have to birth it by yourself? Did he tell you that the money would be there every time you look for it? Did he tell you that? But she birthed, didn't she?
Yes.
Oh, yes, she did.
Yes, she did.
There's something that comes along with that birthing assignment. And it's called boldness. It's called determination. It's called zeal. And let me tell you, it was those things that Mary had along with her. And not only that, she had somebody named Elizabeth.
Yes.
See, God got somebody. It may not be a whole lot of somebody's, but you want to have at least one somebody who's going to understand the time and season of God in your life, and they're going to be there in position, in place, to help you in those most difficult times of your life. You are going to have an Elizabeth, and you're going to have a Joseph.
All right, now.
And that's in my book, praise the Lord.
That's so good.
You're going to have at least two people, non-gender specific.
Come on.
Okay? There's neither male nor female. Your Joseph can be a female. Your Elizabeth can be a man. Doesn't matter, praise the Lord. But you're going to have at least two people. One is going to mentor you. The other one is going to protect you.
Come on.
Because you're going to get birth. So now you're going through this warfare. Everybody's talking about you, praise God. And you ain't just dealing with the local warfare. My God, now you got Herod coming after you. You got demons coming after you that you didn't even know existed. You didn't even know there was a Herod, praise God. You didn't know nothing about no wise men, praise God. Now all of a sudden, here you thinking you're going to carry your baby and nurse him and give him birth in your house. You on the back of a donkey, praise God, in the cold winter, dying for your life, praise God, with this thing that God gave you.
Jesus,
running for your life. You're running for your life. You got this thing inside you. Even if you feel like killing yourself, you can't die because you got to carry this thing to life.
Jesus.
What about Elizabeth? What about when God say, I'm going to give you something, and you done got old? You just tired, praise God.
Come on.
You just want to go home and see Jesus. I don't have no more kids. I don't want to have no more ministry. I don't want to preach no more sermons. I don't, praise God. I just want to sit on the pew and be an elder in the church.
All right.
And God says, time now for you to give birth. And then here you have a person married to you that's acting like they done lost their mind. Now hold on, now we were serving the same God just 10 minutes ago. This man could not understand the season of God for his spouse. He said something crazy out of his mouth. God said, you know what? That's it. Don't you open up your mouth and say nothing else till the baby's born. God will shut you up. God will shut up dumb people. You don't know what to say? Praise God. God will ordain a season of silence.
Thank you.
Why this person didn't call you? God said, because I told them not to call you because they don't know what to say. Praise God. Time they call you, get on your nerve to aggravate you. I need you to carry my baby. I don't want it looking like that. So I need you to separate. You know how to say when the people get on your nerves, the baby look like, you know. God said, I don't want that. I don't want the baby looking like a person who aggravates you. I want the baby to look like me. So he will ordain a season of silence. Who would have thought the person that you thought was going with you would turn? And why can't you not understand the season of God in my life? God said, don't worry about it. They're going to be quiet. They're going to understand. They're going to learn today.
All right.
What about Bathsheba? What about a person who has messed up? This woman was an adulterer, and then she conspired to have her husband murdered. And God still said, you know what? Through all that chaos, I'm still going to birth peace in your life. Solomon's name is Shalom, which Hebrew means peace. God said, I'm still going to bring you peace in the midst of your storm. What about a woman who the first baby she got pregnant with didn't even belong to her husband? Then she had a, we don't know if they were stillborn or died, crib death. We don't know what the situation is. But anyway, it didn't carry a full term. So what do you do when your life is so messed up and jacked up? You try to do something for God one time, it didn't work out. And then God said, I want you to do it again. What do you tell God?
Wow. Good God advice.
Come on. Can you imagine the fear she had the second time she got pregnant?
Yes.
Now, you know, I done lost the first time. People talking about me. I'm sitting up here married to David. Everybody know our business. And God, you talking about you want me to get pregnant again? I done messed up, Lord. I done messed up in the church. I done failed with somebody. I done made a mistake. And God, you want to do ministry? You know what people going to say about me? God said, I'm really not concerned about what people say about you. I'm more concerned about that thing that I'm about to bring into the earth. Because see, that Solomon that you have inside of you is going to build me a temple. That Solomon inside of you, he is the fruit of your mistakes. And he's going to have some wisdom because he learned from some of the stuff you had to go through.
My God.
Ah,
Jesus.
So even somebody that messed up in God.
Good God Almighty.
Thank you.
Thank you.
When you're going through all the battles in your own mind.
My God.
But God, I'm divorced. God, I mess up. I mess up. I mess up.
Yes.
So you know what? I'm so glad that you can confess those things to me. Now I can heal you and move you on to the next level. I don't need you to rehearse to me how messed up your stuff is. Because I'm the God that allowed it to happen in the first place. I'm the same God that can clean you up, wash you, make you whole, and make you look like you ain't never checked sin a day in your life. That's the kind of God you serve. You don't think about the first baby that died. And that's how God will do you. God will give you a second chance. And he'll do that thing so good that folk will forget you messed up the first time.
Thank you.
My God.
My God.
So Bathsheba birthed in the battle. Got some more witnesses for you. What about Hannah?
Come on, man.
What about a woman? Here it is, all your friends going forth in ministry.
Good God Almighty.
Everybody going for doing something for God, except you. They got the CD app. They got 10 books.
Come on.
And you trying to find a clue. You know you anointed.
Wow.
You know that God can use you too. But it seems like it's just the more you try, the things just don't work out.
It's God Almighty.
But you know what Hannah did? Despite all of that stuff, she said, God, I'm still going to keep pressing. I'm still going to come into your presence. Peradventure, Lord, peradventure, you might change your mind. And this old barren woman, you might have mercy on her and drop something in my spirit. So I'm going to keep coming to your house. I'm going to keep praising you. Yeah, Salome the might have birth ministry. That's okay. I'm going to keep praising you. I'm going to keep being faithful. Then she gets pregnant. But what do you do after you've tried so many times to do ministry?
Come on.
Everybody else around you is doing ministry. And then you finally break it, birth to it.
Uh-huh.
And God said, okay, fine, I'm taking it on from here.
Good wow. God Almighty.
Wow.
Do you resent the Lord?
Jesus.
For God, this is mine.
Jesus.
I'm the one that had to care. I'm the one.
Jesus.
God said, if you'll give that to me,
give it to me
and let me give it to somebody else,
God Almighty,
I got some other stuff I want you to do. See, we miss that. We're so caught up on that one little thing God gave you to give away,
God Almighty,
that you don't understand that what you had held in your hand is keeping you from receiving from the hand of God.
Mm.
When Hannah gave Samuel to Eli, God blessed that, what was it, 5 more children?
Yeah.
Birthing in a battle. What about Nehemiah, prophet's gentleman? I'm talking about women. All right, well, can you give birth? Yes. Spiritually, of course. Don't y'all ever try that. The devil is a lie. Yeah, don't go there.
That's all right.
Yeah. I'm talking about in the spirit. Nehemiah had a vision. I want to rebuild this temple. I want to build a place where the people of God can come and worship.
Uh-huh.
And lo and behold, the moment he set his mind to it, here come adversaries. Tobias and Sanballat. How many of those y'all got in your corner? Everybody loves you until you get ready to step out.
Yeah.
My God.
But you know what, that brother had a hammer in one hand and a sword in the other. He said, you know, we're going to build this temple. We're going to give birth to it. Oh, we're going to do it in the name of the Lord. It may take me a little bit longer.
That's right.
But I'm going to give birth to it.
Yes.
What about, we got another, what about Joseph?
My God.
God gives you a vision. You want to be great. You want to do all these things. And this boy, bless his heart, he went and told everybody. He went and told everybody, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. I said, okay, fine. And it seemed like the very thing that God called him to was the very thing the enemy came after in his life. And it looked like everything but. You ever had a situation like it looked like everything going on in your life except what God said. It's like, wow, somebody missed it. But even through that, when Potiphar's wife came after him, he said, you know what? I don't have my daddy here to watch me. I don't have my brothers, but I know my God. And I don't care. I may be going through some issues right now in my mind. I may not understand the plan of God, but I know what he told me. And sometimes when you're giving birth, you got to battle against your own mind. You got to battle against what, praise God, the situation, the lust, all the stuff that's coming at you because the enemy is throwing things at you to cause you to lose your integrity, try to lose your place, praise God. And Joseph said, you know what? I would not dare lay down with you. I may be a young man. I might be going through things, but praise God, I fear God rather than man. And praise God, my destiny is more important than 10 minutes with you.
That's good. So good.
And he birthed a vision. What about Jesus? We talked about the God of Gethsemane. What did he have to go through? I don't even have to preach that to you. Y'all should know that. The things he went through. His mother thought, oh, Jesus, he didn't turn the water into wine. He said, mama, it ain't my time yet.
Yeah.
But he went ahead, he did it anyway. When he went to go forth to do ministry, it's like he had more demons attached to him than the people that needed help, praise God.
That's right.
Places he go to, in one place he said, I can't even do too many miracles here because I don't even have nobody believe. You still asking if this Jesus from Nazareth, the carpenter, can you get past me, what you used to know me as? Can you get past the fact that I failed fourth grade? Can you get past the fact that I messed up and I got locked up? Can you get past the natural things in my life and see me for who God is calling me now? And this is why there's some people even in your circle that cannot receive ministry from you because they can't see you past who you used to be.
Yeah.
Well, is that Joseph's son? Yes, I'm Joseph's son, but beyond Joseph, Mary's son, I am called of God. I have a mandate to redeem men back to the Father. I can save, I can heal, I can deliver. Can you get past me as a man and see the God inside of me?
Yeah.
So I'm here to let you know, people of God, you can give birth without money.
All right, yeah.
You can give birth without friends.
Right.
You can give birth without a whole lot of attendance. You don't have to have, praise God, a bridal shower or what a baby shower, praise the Lord. You just be obedient. Do what God requires you to and fight the good fight of faith. Paul told Timothy, he said, listen here. I want you to wage a good warfare with the prophetic word that I released over your life. In other words, he said, that seed that I gave you, that seed of ministry, the seed of the bishopric, the seed that I put inside of you, you're going to go through some stuff, Timothy, because you're young. And people are going to despise you because of your age. They're not going to like you because you weren't raised by men. You were raised by your mama and your grandmama. People are going to despise you, but you take the word that I've given you and you fight with it. In other words, when you are in battle, when you are pregnant with a vision from God, when you are pregnant with a ministry, you are going to go through some stuff, praise God. You better prepare yourself to wage warfare. Hold on to the word of God. Hold on to the will of God. Hold on to the word of God. And God said, he's going to do it. And God said, he's going to bring it to pass on you. Who can stop the plan of God for your life?
Nobody.
Even Elisha, when he was dead, the anointing was still in his bones. They threw somebody in the cave. The person came out alive, praise the Lord. Can't nobody stop you. When God seals it. When God seals it. Hallelujah. I don't need your permission. I don't even need your money, praise God. The Bible said Jesus had a bill. He didn't go ask anybody for nothing. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't even tell you. He said, go get the money out the mouth of a fish. God will cause an animal to be a blessing to you, praise the Lord. Where there's vision, God will make provision.
Yes, that's right.
Quit worrying about when my credit ain't right. God ain't save you because of your credit. He ain't concerned about your credit score, praise God. God can, somebody can sign you over a house just because God said to sign over a house, praise God. God is not, his will for your life is not contingent upon who gives to you. Whose heart and mind can hear the voice of God, they will be the ones to sow into the vision. I put on my Facebook page, don't you dare beg nobody for nothing.
Jesus.
If God gave you a vision, it's his responsibility to see it to pass. He is not no baby daddy. He's not no deadbeat daddy, praise God. If he give you something, he's going to see it all the way through. But the thing that you got to understand is this.
Thank you, Lord.
Because you know how we do. God give us a vision, and our own little brain We done figured out how it's going to be. Come on now. Somebody say amen. Somebody say God's going to send you somewhere. You done figured out. Airplane, luggage set, three-piece suit, Gucci. You done got it all figured out, praise God. You don't know. God may send you on a boat somewhere down the street. You don't know what God may do. Quit trying to put God in your little box and your little fairy tale imagination, praise the Lord. He ain't no tooth fairy. And this is why we get so discouraged. When the Lord called me to mega ministry. All the mega people live in your backyard. Go and preach the word, get some hot dogs, and go to that nation right there. See, this is the thing, and this is what makes me mad with prophets sometimes. We give people the word, but we don't give them instruction. What I love about Old Testament prophets, number one, if somebody's going to prophesy into your life, they have a responsibility to stand beside you until that prophetic word come to pass, praise God. Don't nobody understand that. Oh, the Lord said, the Lord said, the Lord. Oh, yeah? Well, you know, I don't understand. Well, you got to call my secretary and let them make me a raise to come right down. Oh, but the next time you got to work for me, Brother Packer, and send it to my leader, because they're going to be the one to stay on me and see me through the next place to God. People date. They don't understand prophetic ministry. And what's happening, people are building stuff off of what somebody said. Praise God. You cannot, you got to hear what God is saying. You got to hear God's heart. The vision he gave you, it's not going to come like you said. He said, our thoughts are not like his thoughts. Our ways are not like his ways. Your ministry may be in the basement. It may be in the kitchen. It may be in the barbershop. It may be in the football field. You don't know how God is going to use you. We got to take our mind out of this brick building. Praise God, the full wall. You got to break your mind off of that, praise the Lord. Loose God, let him out the box. Can Jesus be free, praise God. He set us free, we bind him up. You don't know how. Like I said, when God, the angel went to Mary and said, look, Jesus is going to have a baby and all this stuff. You know, I'm sure in her mind, I'm going to have a pretty little baby, his name will be Jesus, and everybody going to like him. He had no idea the level of warfare that went along with that. She could not even still, she couldn't understand. She tried to bother him when he was miserable. He said, look, woman, this is my mother, this is my father. You got to get past the natural stuff.
Yes.
Do y'all understand what I'm saying to you?
Yes.
You, God is birthing vision. He's birthing babies. He's birthing concepts and things in you. But quit trying to figure it in your own mind. You will frustrate yourself. You will depress yourself every time when God get a vision. Say, okay, God, thank you for the vision. Now how? We got the what? How? And when you get the how, Lord, when?
Yes.
We just take it and run to the nation. We got to do it God's way. That's where his grace is. And I believe a reason why we've seen a lot of preachers falling is because when you venture beyond the place of grace,
all right,
God is not obligated to keep you where he has not sent you.
All right,
and we say it all the time, there's people that went, but God didn't send them. I think you said, people went, but God didn't send them. What do you say? Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who in the world where you come from?
Yeah.
They don't know. These devils don't know who you are because you don't have no authority. You don't have no seal, no blood. The grace of God is nowhere on you. They can't see Jesus nowhere. All they see is you. Well, I'm Bishop so-and-so. Man, sit down somewhere. Send somebody with some real power. You don't scare me.
That's it.
The devil will tell everybody all you. I done seen it. The devil will tell people your business.
Yeah.
If you don't have power, shut them up.
All right, then.
Jesus.
It doesn't matter what you go through. Like I said, it's the enemy's job to harass you. His name is adversary, and he does what he says, what his name says. That's what he does. He comes against you. It's his job to stop you, to block you, to get in front of you. That's his job. Now, what's your job? To put him under your feet.
Right.
It's your job to keep birthing. I don't care. You got to birth the baby in his face. I don't care what you got to do. Praise God. Preach in the devil's face. Praise in it. I don't care what you got to do. But you must give birth. It is expedient that you do what God requires you to do. So in my final thoughts, I don't know what your baby is. I don't know if you have yet to conceive or if you're pregnant. I don't know where you are as far as that is concerned. But I'm here to let you know, you don't have no excuses. Quit telling God I don't have enough money to do it. You insult the Lord's intelligence when you do that.
That's all right.
Well, God, I didn't get the right degree. I didn't go to the right Bible school. Moses really made the Lord angry. Well, you know, I don't speak real well. How you gonna talk to the God that formed you and tell him what's wrong with you? I think he knew that when he called you, he knew that you stuttered, praise the Lord. He knew that you had one left foot bigger than the right foot. He knew that. But he still expects you to give birth. No matter who walks away from you, through the tears, through the pain, through the agony, you are still required to give birth. When you told God yes, like we did here,
yes.
Don't be playing Indian giving.
Well, no.
What is it? Don't mind a man, the Bible says, unstable. The Bible says, let not that man think he shall receive anything. So why do we have some prayers that's not answered? We're unstable. We're double-minded. Let us stand.
Thank you, Lord.